Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Live Beyond podcast. My name is Jacqueline, and I'm here again with Dr. David Vanderpool, and we are continuing our series on the first 1,000 days. Now, if you are anything like me and questioning what the first 1,000 days means, that is from conception through the first 2 years of a child's life and why it is so important to take these necessary steps to ensure that the baby and the mother are both healthy. So last week we talked about mother's health, and today we're going to be talking about different things that you can do to ensure the child's health. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right on in. So moving on to another one of those important building blocks is the child's nutrition. So can you tell me a little bit about that as well?
Once the baby is born, the child's nutrition becomes just absolutely crucial to his or her development. And the recommendations are that the child should breastfeed 100% for the first 6 months of life, and really have it be the predominant calorie source for the first year. And so that really provides the child with the best possible nutrition. Breast milk contains just the proper amount of protein and fat and carbohydrates that the child needs to grow well. And so there are two things that are very important. One, the mother has to be able to make sufficient milk. If the mother is malnourished, then she's not going to be able to make sufficient milk for the child. And in Haiti, we see this to be a big problem, because in mothers who are malnourished, their children will actually perish because they starve to death because the mother doesn't have enough milk. And so it's absolutely terribly important that the mother has sufficient nutrition to provide milk for her child. And then for the first 6 months, only breast milk, that nothing else is added. After the first 6 months are passed, then other foods can be added, but very slowly, and still breast milk is so important. It provides just amazing benefits. You know, it's a lot more easily digested by the infant than anything else. And so the baby has fewer problems with digestion. Breastfeeding actually lowers the baby's incidence of asthma or allergies. Babies who are breastfed for the first 6 months have fewer ear infections and pneumonia and bouts of diarrhea. They have fewer hospitalizations and trips to the doctor as well. And there's some evidence that shows that breastfeeding can make the baby smarter. And so breastfeeding your baby really is a wonderful way to give your baby a gift of good nutrition and health, you know, for the first year of life.
So it's been interesting in Haiti for us, because that wasn't necessarily the norm. And so teaching our women just how important breastfeeding is was quite an uphill battle. And we have a breastfeeding song that we sing every single day in our maternal health program. And I think one of the things that's so exciting is how much of a positive change that we have seen, and just how important education is, and being really determined to, you know, get that point across. And I mean, I don't know about you, but it always cracks me up when we hear the breastfeeding song, and, you know, as you're walking along the base and you can hear them screaming it. And hey, if a song is what it takes, we'll do it, you know.
Absolutely. So. Well, and that's a great point, because in a lot of low income countries, people are not well educated. And so the literacy rate among women in Haiti is very low. And so it's not like you can give them a sheet of paper and they can go home and learn it. And so a lot of the teaching in our maternal health program comes through songs. And it's just songs they make up and put to a good beat. And so they'll sing these songs, and it'll be about breastfeeding. It'll be about good nutrition for the mom and good nutrition for the baby, and just all sorts of different topics. And they absolutely love it. They're usually dancing and clapping and singing and just having a great time. So it is the best way to teach in this particular environment.
Well, and it's so important too, because, you know, sure, it'd be easy for us to go up, throw some pieces of paper and pamphlets down and say, learn this. But that's not what they need. You know, we need to meet them where they are. So even if it means having to maybe get a little creative on our end, if that's meeting them where they are, then that's what we need to do. So certainly important. Okay, so we've definitely hit on the breastfeeding side of things. What about in that second 6 months of, you know, you're still breastfeeding, but you're adding in some other foods as well. So what are some good ones to do? What's to avoid? Educate me on that one.
Right. Well, and that's a great question. You know, like you said, we still want the women to be primarily breastfeeding. The baby really needs at least 32 ounces a day, of breast milk. And these other foods are just supplemental. And so these are just ways to get the baby used to other foods. And so, the best thing to do is to not add foods that are high in sugar or salt, and to go very slowly. So small amounts of food, give them about 5 days before you start a different food. You check for rashes or vomiting or diarrhea, those kinds of things. And then, you know, basically add things slowly. The best things are to add vegetables and then fruits and then other foods as they grow. One of the things in Haiti that we struggle with is the women think that fat babies are healthy, and so they'll feed these babies cookies or bonbons, as we say in Creole, and you'll see the fattest babies you've ever seen. And unfortunately, the babies are not that healthy, and they're nutritionally challenged, and they're going to struggle with that. So we've had to try to break through this idea that you want your baby as fat as possible. And I think they're slowly coming around, but avoiding, you know, things that, that can, put on a lot of weight. And then things that the baby may not be able to really process. The foods really need to be mashed up and chopped real small and those kind of things so that the baby can learn how to eat those mm-hmm. new foods.
Absolutely. So that was the first big building block, was the nutrition. And the second one is healthcare. And so I know one of the things that we see a lot in our program is preeclampsia and things like that. So what, let's talk about just that healthcare aspect and what we can do to treat it. And then also just important other things to keep in mind while a mom is pregnant.
Absolutely. And going back to the mother's health, the mother's health can really determine the baby's health. And so there are many diseases that the mother can have that really hurt the babies. And so things like the high blood pressure of pregnancy, preeclampsia, and the even worse eclampsia syndromes that have terrible neurological problems. These are the kind of things that can make the babies very small for age, and set them back tremendously if these things aren't treated. And so it's best to treat this high blood pressure for as well as you can, and then deliver the baby as soon as possible. And that sort of depends on where you are, what resources you have. But if the mother needs to be induced to prevent harm to the baby, then that can really help the baby. Obviously, another disease is diabetes, and this is a problem we don't see a lot in Haiti, but in many countries, it's a very, very big problem. And diabetes with the high blood sugars can really damage the children as well. And so controlling these types of problems. Malaria is another disease that is very problematic, and especially in the tropics. If the mother has malaria, this can really harm the children. And so adequately testing the mother for malaria and in endemic areas, obviously, but then treating her so that she doesn't pass it on to the baby and that she can get to feeling better. Things like mosquito nets, or bed nets are a fantastic way to really slow the transmission of malaria. Things like HIV/AIDS is another disease that can be hugely problematic. in this arena. And medications that you can give to the mother prior to delivery can cut the risk of transmission of HIV/AIDS to the baby significantly. And so there are ways to treat this to keep the baby from developing an HIV/AIDS syndrome. Other things such as tuberculosis are a big problem as well. Many diseases that are sort of limited to the tropics as well. Chagas and dengue fever and those kinds of things can be very problematic as well. But making sure the mother is healthy, taking care of her health care is absolutely vital to the success of the baby. Then obviously taking care of the baby's health care is very important. And so treating the baby who may have pneumonia, maybe have an earache, otitis media, those are diseases that can cause a lot of damage. Otitis media can damage the hearing of the baby, where the baby may not develop proper words for a long time, maybe delayed in that because can't hear very well. Also, earaches can go into pneumonia, and pneumonia is a big killer of young children. And so this is the kind of thing they need to be able to have prompt treatment. Probably one of the most common problems that we see in young children is diarrhea. And diarrhea causes more deaths than anything else in this age group. And so it's very important to quickly treat diarrhea, rehydrate the child, treat the causative agent that is there making the baby sick very quickly so that the baby has a chance to do well. And so there are some things that we can address with healthcare that can really, really help. Have the baby set up for success as he or she grows older.
And this one might seem kind of obvious. However, I do think that sometimes we forget maybe just the scope of what this looks like, but the labor and delivery in of itself, you know, here in the United States, if we have an emergency or if we go into labor, we just drive to the hospital and there is a dedicated staff right there to help you if you have an emergency situation. You know, you have a better chance of being taken care of. Mm-hmm. However, in Haiti, that is absolutely not the case, and in a lot of third world countries. And so can you give us kind of an idea of what those realities for a majority of the women in Haiti and in the developing countries, of what that looks like when they go into labor, how they're alone and everything like that? And then I would love to hear the ways that Live Beyond is working to counter a lot of that dangerous situation.
That's really a great question. You know, in our area, by far, most women deliver at home. And home is a mud hut or a tin hut. In addition, they deliver all by themselves. And so it's just amazing. No sister, no mother, no birth attendant at all. And so it's really a strenuous and dangerous time for women. And we see the maternal mortality and the child mortality just go through the roof because they're completely alone delivering this baby. Many times it's extremely hot in these mud huts. You know, we go in there frequently and it may be 110, 120 degrees. And it's just not compatible with life for the babies, because babies really can't regulate their temperature very well. And so one of the things that Live Beyond has done is we deliver babies in our hospital now. And so we're taking this very dangerous situation of delivering a baby by yourself in an extremely hot environment with no running water, no electricity, and coming to our hospital where we have electricity and running water and nurses and doctors who can do this. And so it's just a tremendous benefit for the moms. That's just with a straightforward delivery. If their delivery has any complications, such as infection or bleeding, or maybe obstructed labor, we can take care of that as well. And all three of those things are major killers of moms and babies during delivery. So it's just a vital piece of trying to improve the lives of mothers and babies in low-income countries.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't fathom having a child without medication. And mm-hmm. then on top of that, cutting my umbilical cord with a rock. And, you know, just all of, like, I just can't picture that. And so I think that knowing that that's a reality for a very large portion of the female population, I mean, that's just mind-blowing. That's just mm-hmm. absolutely mind-blowing. Well, let's talk about this third pillar that we have. And you mentioned earlier that it's security. And I think that that's not necessarily one that I would have thought of. So can you kind of, let's talk about this, because I'm really curious to see what you have to say about it.
Well, it is interesting, and it is, again, low-income countries that suffer from this. But we talk about security from a number of different standpoints. Obviously, in Haiti right now, it's a very unsecure place. Mm-hmm. Gangs are controlling most of Haiti, very violent gangs. And so there's a lot of murder. There's a lot of kidnapping, those kinds of things. And so a lot of these low-income countries will experience violence such as that. And the people who are most at risk are the vulnerable populations mm-hmm. of pregnant women and children and the elderly. And so from a security standpoint, it's just very important that these women are able to go about their daily life without threat of violence against them during their pregnancy, for obvious reasons. But other aspects of security include intimate partner violence. And this is a big problem in really in all countries, but particularly in low-income countries. We find boyfriends or husbands who are violent people, mm-hmm. and they threaten the women. They strike the women. They may create an environment that has a lot of psychological trauma to it, or emotional trauma, and all of these things contribute to not having well-being with the mother and the child. And so it's a big problem. Obviously, the physical violence threatens their lives, but psychologically and emotionally, it's very important to have stability and a lack of violence. So one of the things that we do in our maternal health program is we have an entire chapter or lesson that we teach the women on intimate partner violence and how to identify it. A lot of times these women are so used to it that they think it's normal. And so those are the women who've sort of acclimated to this level of violence that we want to have made obvious that this is not normal, you do not have to deal with this, and they can get to a safer environment. And so identifying intimate partner violence and then giving the women a place to come and be safe is a great way to diminish that. Now, you know, when we're talking about children, obviously violence of any kind affects the children as well. But there's a security situation that is peculiar to low-income countries, and that is just the security of their home and home environment. And so very often, the mothers are cooking over an open fire outside, and if the baby is crawling or toddling, for instance, may fall into the fire. And so this is something that we see quite frequently in our hospital. Or babies who've been burned either by falling into the fire or falling into boiling or cooking beans and things like that, rice, and becoming burned. And so being able to put some kind of enclosure around your cooking fire is a great way to keep kids from falling prey to these burns. Because it's a miserable thing. A lot of children lose their life as well. The other thing, though, that isn't probably very obvious to a developed world is that farm animals can be a real problem for childhood security. And most of the time in these countries, the farm animals may share the house with the humans. And so this is something that where the babies can actually be injured by these farm animals, where they get bitten or perhaps stepped on. But also they bring diseases in, those diseases can harm the babies as well. So it's interesting, separating your farm animals from your home is a pretty important thing to do. Keeps both of those things from happening. But then also having a door on your hut that is stable and strong enough to keep animals out is very important. And then the other animals that we worry about too are mosquitoes. And so in endemic malaria type countries in the tropics, mosquitoes kill more people than any other animal on the planet, which is amazing. Even other people, it's pretty impressive how many people are hurt and killed by mosquitoes. And so bed nets, malaria nets are very, very important in childhood for these kids, so that they can really thrive and survive.
That's incredible. Are there any other helpful hints or tools or little items that can really help make sure that the first 1,000 days of a child's life is safe, nutritious, and really healthy?
Well, you know, things like clean water are vital. And that's one of the big causes of diarrhea in childhood is drinking tainted water. And so clean water, obviously, is a gift that is tremendous. It saves so many lives. And so making sure that the moms know that, proper hand washing techniques, food preparation techniques, all of those things are very, very important to the health and well-being of a child during these first 1,000 days.
Absolutely. Well, that was incredible. So helpful too. And again, as someone who has not had any children, but I have been a child. and I know how curious children can be and how dangerous it can be to be a little toddler and things. But I just think that this was so helpful and so eye-opening to see that there are so many blessings that we have in the United States that just the majority of the world, they don't have those blessings. And for us to keep that at the forefront of our brains, of how we can be healthy for ourselves and for our families, but also want to pass on and share that knowledge and make sure that the rest of the world has a healthy childhood as well. And I just think that that is so important. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Teaching us this incredible knowledge. If you would like to learn a little bit more about Live Beyond, please feel free to go check out our website, livebeyond.org. You can learn all about the different programs that we have, especially our maternal health program and the incredible things that are happening there. If you feel like it has been put on your heart to donate, you can click that red Give Now button. You can select a program or you can just give in a general fund. But for all of it, we would be incredibly grateful. Please keep us in your prayers and keep Haiti in your prayers as well. But that is it for this episode. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you have a fantastic day, and don't forget to go out and live beyond.